This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
On the phone, our next guest with us, and
I've never heard of this artist that the exhibition's about. Hey,
very distinctive voice, as you'll probably find out later on too. But we have on the phone with us Lauren Ellis, who's a curator of the Elvis exhibition.
Hey, Elvis!
And Elvis has found his way to Bendigo, so we have Lauren here to talk about the exhibition. Welcome to the show, Lauren.
Thank you.
Now before we talk about the exhibition, which is on at the Bendigo Art Gallery, just a little bit about yourself, Lauren. Just to give our listeners a bit of an idea as to where you've been and how you got to where you are. How did you get started in the arts?
Oh, well, I studied. I did do art history and museum studies at uni, and then, started volunteering like lots of people do as their way into the arts. And then I think, my first real proper job was with Museums Victoria, with Melbourne Museum, and I worked there for a long time. And yeah, just moved around a couple of organisations and got to work overseas for a while, and now I'm at Bendigo.
And I think you're the second curator that we've heard that started off in Museums Victoria and then ended up curating. So it seems to be a very familiar trodden path, I think, So
it's a big one. Well, I think the museum in Melbourne is Australia's largest public museum organisation. So it has a lot of staff, and lots of us have worked there at one time or another.
Obviously, it's worked out well because we've had a lot of people that come through that. Now, the thing, Lauren, is what made you study arts? I mean, is it just something that you have always wanted to do? Is it something, were you involved in the arts in any way before? Do you practice any of it at all? Or it's all theory?
I loved art at high school. I did art, and I come from a family with numerous artists. My auntie's a painter, and one of my great aunts was a stained glass artist, so I guess I sort of grew up around art. And at first I thought I wanted to be an artist, and then I realised you need a lot of discipline for that. That wasn't going to work. So, yeah, I suppose, it was just one of those things where I started studying and got more and more interested. And then working as a curator in museums, it's a great luxury. It's a great privilege of a job. You kind of get to dive into all these fascinating pockets of knowledge and history, and it's a really fascinating environment to work.
Now, let's talk about the Bendigo Art Gallery. All of a sudden, wow, you guys have really put yourself on the map in the last, say, five or probably longer because of COVID. We all go a bit vague at one stage. But you've been staging some major exhibitions. Last year you had Mary Quant. The year before, was that Munro, or was that before that? I can't remember.
And a couple of years before, yes. We do lose a couple with the COVID years. Marilyn Munro was 2016. So you're right, it has been sort of 10 years worth of kind of gradually, bigger and bigger programming in this sort of space.
Yeah, and Gilla, and what you're doing for the town is huge. So a great tourism focus for that greater area. Because I know I've been up with friends from interstate for exhibitions, and this one here is going to have mass appeal, I reckon.
We hope so. Yes, that's certainly part of our job as the gallery for the city, is to bring, people, visitors to Bendigo, and that's people from Melbourne. Lots and lots of our visitors come up from Melbourne on the train or for a weekend, but also interstate visitors, and even, we'd like to think, international visitors for something as big as Mr. Presley.
Yep, absolutely. Now, how did you get this exhibition? Because wouldn't everyone in the world be putting their hand up saying, oh, we want Elvis, we want Elvis? How did you get it? Did you have to trip a few people up along the way?
No, I didn't climb over anybody for this one. But Elvis was on our wish list for a long time. As you mentioned, we've done other sort of exhibitions in this kind of celebrity icons who've shaped our kind of visual and pop culture of our time space in the past. And because we do a lot of fashion and textile history exhibitions, men obviously don't always get represented as thoroughly as women. So Elvis was always up there as, like, you know, it's this great story about men's fashion and, you know, this absolute kind of ubiquitous presence in our pop culture today. But really it was, you know, we got an introduction through colleagues at Paramount Pictures that we've worked with in the past, the previous costuming exhibition.
Okay.
And just sort of, you know, gradually built a relationship with Graceland and earned their trust because they do, you know, take care of this story and keep it very close. You know, they're really still,
of course,
family members are still alive and involved. Yep. But yeah, it was, you know, this isn't a packaged exhibition. This is one we've developed with them from the ground up. They don't do a great many overseas exhibitions.
Right.
So it's been a really exciting process.
And what is it featuring? You were mentioning about textile and fashion. Are you featuring a lot of the jumpsuits or the tight pants, and or what is it? Or is it more artifacts from Gracelands?
It's a mix. So, you know, our strength at the gallery is sort of fashion history and, you know, looking at, I guess, the iconography that's very present in our visual culture. So certainly, you know, Elvis's famous silhouette and the jumpsuits and his kind of, you know, slim pants and wide shoulders and high collars and all of that. That sort of fashion story is very strong. So we will have lots of exhibits of, you know, the different eras of his style with a spectacular display of 70s gauge wear of glittering jumpsuits, which
is
just
God,
a really fun
so,
face.
Like, I can remember because I'm old enough, I was around, and those jumpsuits were so outrageous. You know, like they, you know, like when I first saw one of those white ones with the Dimentis or whatever, and with the big collar, as you said, you look at it and you go, what the hell is going on here?
You're they like, are wild. Yeah.
And
they're, you know, they're actually beautifully tailored as well. As we've been unpacking and setting them up, it's kind of extraordinary to see them up close and see how beautifully made they were.
And of course, it was all for Vegas, wasn't it? You know, like that whole big showmanship for Vegas.
That's right. And Elvis really, you know, at the time that he entered Vegas, it was kind of looking a bit sad and tired around the edges. The heyday of, you know, the Rat Packers and Snatcher and so on had kind of wound down. So you had this moment where hotel bosses were kind of looking for, like, what's our next thing? Like, what's our next glamorous, you know, unique offer that Vegas, you know, presents? And Elvis came along at precisely this moment where he'd had, you know, this huge kind of comeback in his career from Hollywood.
Yep.
And yeah, so Elvis and Vegas stories go very much hand in hand through the 70s.
But
I should just say, I just briefly mention also, in addition to the fashion story, just to not put anyone off, there is a great many artifacts that just more broadly tell the story of his life from childhood through to, you know, his home in Graceland and his marriage to Priscilla will be coming as well. So it's actually quite a broad biographical exhibition.
Of course. And Priscilla is coming for the exhibition, is that right?
That is right. Priscilla is coming to Bendigo. We are so excited.
Yeah,
she's going to come and open the exhibition. And she's also going to be presenting an event with our members, which is, I believe is already sold out.
Right, fantastic. And, you know, like there is so much history to that. You know, it's a big, I've got some friends who are mad Elvis fans. And, of course, they've been to Gracelands. It's a big tourist attraction in itself, isn't it?
And can I say I have a brother who is a mad Elvis fan who I think actually had an outfit to wear on his 60th birthday as Elvis, one of Elvis' jumpsuits.
Okay, right.
Sorry, I just had to throw that one in there, Lauren.
So. Tell them to come. I hope they come and visit us. Yeah, and look, Graceland is such a special place. It's the second most visited historic home in the United States after the White House.
Whoa.
So it is a big deal, and it is, you know, I was lucky to go there in January to sort of do the final stage of research, and it's totally magic. Like, if you even have a passing interest in Elvis, it's a fascinating place to go because the house is an extraordinary time capsule, and Memphis is a fascinating city of American
course.
History.
Yeah,
so, it's a great place.
And what are the, you know, like, how do they give you these bits and pieces? Because, you know, like, it's open to the public most days, I should imagine. So what, you know, like, how hard was it to find stuff? Or is there so much stuff that there are, you know, like, they haven't even, you know, like, if you walk through, you don't notice that they're missing?
Yes, it's the latter. There is so much stuff. So, you know, they do have kind of core exhibits that change. So the house is kind of, first of all, I suppose, sort of set up with a sort of baseline amount of furniture and personal mementos and treasures and so on. And then there's another sort of exhibit space where they have themed exhibitions around, say, Elvis's years in the army or his, you know, love affair with karate or so on.
Yep.
But, yeah, behind the scenes they have a big archive of, I'm not sure of the number, but I think it's like 1.5 million items.
Whoa.
Which were all kinds of things, like furniture from his, you know, homes in Hollywood, lots and lots of childhood stuff. And I think part of the interesting story is that Elvis's parents kept everything. And I think that kind of, you know, comes from a growing up, well, you know, living most of their lives in essentially poverty in rural Mississippi.
Yeah.
They kept things, you know, and they kept like receipts for pieces of furniture they had bought in the 40s. So they're, you know, he happened to have this father and then his manager, Colonel Parker, who were assiduous record keepers. And then they just didn't throw things away. Even when he redecorated the house, things got kept and stored should they ever be needed again.
Wow.
So
wow.
There was a lot of stuff to choose from. And Graceland has been incredibly generous with lending us, you know, a lot of the real kind of highlight gem objects, like really famous costumes and precious childhood things.
Okay. So really give us a few examples of some of the stuff that will be in the exhibition.
Well, there's a big range. So an example of kind of an iconic outfit in the imagination that they've been generous to lend us is the outfit he wore to meet President Nixon in the early 70s. So that's actually made up of stage costumes, but people might know that if they've kind of ever seen those photographs or know the movie. But lots of costumes from different times, including like a beautiful tailored suit from one of his films in the 60s that's sort of more of this slick leading man style. Childhood mementos are things like the little crayon box that he took to elementary school and, you know, his first couple of paychecks when he was still driving a truck for a dollar an hour for Crown Electric.
Yeah.
Through to some, you know, in that sort of later stage of his career, you know, beautiful pieces of jewellery. So one of the exciting ones to get through various kind of international customs and permissions was a lion claw necklace, which is embedded in gold with a little EP monogram. You know, things like the American Eagle suit and cape that he wore for the Aloha from Hawaii concerts in 72. So it's the exhibition is really huge. So pace yourself, wear comfortable shoes, and, you know, you really get to take in his whole life.
Yeah.
And pre-fame.
And when you mentioned about his parents, I remember there was an album cover. Because my background is the music record industry, so I'm aware of it all. And it was a photo of him as a baby, a two-year-old, sitting up. And it's the gorgeous photo of him with a little hat on. And you know, you know, have you got childhood photos?
Got lots of childhood photos. I mean, one of the incredible advantages of working directly with Graceland is their database of images is, you know, literally tens upon tens upon tens of thousands of images. So we've, you know, got all kinds of photographs from early childhood through school and teenage and those very first couple of years of trying to sort of break into the Memphis music scene. So you'll get a really strong sense of this life journey, which really was, you know, a rags to riches story.
Absolutely.
Grew up in a two-room shack.
And also a bit sad the way it ended as well, you know, like the weight that he put on and you know, like, and just around yes men all the time. Of course, I'm sure there's going to be a few gold records.
Yeah, there are a few gold records and some gorgeous mementos of his time in music, you know, one of his gorgeous guitars. So, that story of actually, you know, how he kind of shaped and was shaped by the history of 20th century music is also in there. So there are some great things. I mean, we sort of haven't mentioned it yet, but his whole breakout moment from Sun Records into his first year with, you know, this big national label
RCA,
when the contract was sold, RCA in 56. You know, 1956 was a massive year. He was on television 11 times, you know, put out this string of hit singles and made his first film like some months after auditioning in Hollywood. So, you know, we also explore, you know, this action-packed couple of years when he just seemed to bust out of nowhere in the 50s.
And now, Lauren, I also have to ask you, in curating this show, did you get to go through the whole collection and have a look, or were you sort of presenting, you know, like, did you have an idea what you wanted to do and then you'd look through? I can just imagine, well, I can sort of almost imagine somebody sitting there going through the piles and piles of stuff that's there to work out what you might want to show and stuff. Is that what you had to do, or did you already have an idea roughly what you're after?
I would love to have done that, but a combination of just sheer number of hours in the year and, of course, pandemic restrictions.
Oh, that's true, yes.
Meant that, you know, we kind of thought a lot about, you know, what's the story we can tell well? What's the kind of new lens on the story, I suppose? Because it is, you know, for many people, it's a very well-known story.
Mm.
And then, of course, working with the head of the archives at Graceland, Angie Marchese, which is a name that might be known to the more devoted Elvis fans who are listening, you know, she and her team were really generous with kind of giving us a kind of starting steer of like, well, you know, if these are kind of the broad chapters of a story you want to tell, here are some suggestions that we have. And then, you know, as we refined and went on over time, we kind of got our heart set on a few extras that we asked for and, you know, kind of, you know, refined and refined until I was able to actually leave Australia and go and visit, and we could do that final kind of decision making and, you know, checking all the kind of minutiae details behind the scenes. But yeah, really, you know, drawing on their extraordinary knowledge of his story and what is in this huge archive was invaluable.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for chatting with us. It's going to be a huge success. Just the amount of Elvis fans, as I said, I know, that are coming from interstate to see it. So, you know, like, get ready. My mad friends are, you know, like, coming into Bendigo. And we're going out with an Elvis song. Neil, which one are we playing?
We're going to play Suspicious Minds by Elvis Presley.
Thank you for chatting with us.
And thank you for chatting with us, Lauren.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. We've been talking to Lauren Ellis, the curator here at Joy 94.9. Sorry, I'm losing my words actually now, but here's Elvis Presley with Suspicious Minds.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby. Why can't you see what you're doing to me when you don't believe a word I say? Suspicious minds. And we can build our dreams on suspicious minds. So if an old friend I know stops by to say hello, would I still see suspicion in your eyes? Here we go. Suspicious minds. And we can build
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.